Blog Talk Radio.
She was roaming and running wild out on the range in a free and careless special kind of way. My Colorado mornings ain't ever been the same. Yeah, we saddled up and she's here to stay. Horses and hearts, one and the same. You catch them both, call them yours, and lead them to a ring. With a little prayer, you'll get there. Oh, ain't it great? Horses and hearts, the good ones are hard to break.
I'd like to welcome you to Garden of Enlightenment with Luyu Wild Dove, Weaver of Dreams, Gray Eye Smith, and Francisco del Mar. And tonight we'll be doing front page picks and open poetry. Our group is titled The Late Night Poets. Sorry, I got a cough drop in my mouth. And you can find us on allpoetry.com. It's the largest website, and it's free to join. And also, you can find our books on Amazon.com after our title, Late Night Poets Group. These are anthologies, and these are collections of poems from poets from around the world to help support these shows. So please check us out on Amazon.com. Beautiful books and affordable prices make great Christmas gifts. So we're going to go ahead and start the show. Gray Eye is hosting for me, so he'll be picking up the callers. And if for whatever reason your phone dropped, which this site is notorious for doing that occasionally, please call back.
Hi, Luyu.
Hi, Gray.
First, we have Weaver. Hello, Weaver, and welcome to the show.
Hello, my dear. Hello, Luyu.
Hello, Weaver.
Hello,
and
honey.
Weaver from, she's calling from Scotland. She's my co-host, so welcome, welcome. Who else do we got, Gray?
I believe it's Laurent.
Laurent?
Hello, Laurent, is that you?
Yes, it is. Good evening.
Oh, it's so good to hear your voice, Laurent. I have missed your buttery voice, your laughter, and your comments. I'm so happy to have you tonight.
Thank you. I drowned in turkey. I had to claw my way out.
I ate too much. I'm still, it's just that you, then you don't want to see it for another year.
Right.
Uh-oh. Avon's calling.
So I believe we have Miriam, area code 703. Is that you, Miriam?
I'm here.
Hi, Miriam. Hi. Welcome, welcome.
Hello, good to be here.
Happy to have you. And if for whatever reason anybody drops, please call back because we don't drop you.
All right.
Please, yeah, please call back. Okay. Do we have anybody else, Gray?
No, that's it.
Okay. And we're going to hand it over to Katie. Katie, we're ready for our front page pick for tonight.
Okie dokie. Okie dokie. Sorry about that. I was on mute. Not like me, is it? Okay. Oh, well, start the way you mean to go on. That's what I say. Anyway, we'll start. The first one we have is Bon Appetit by Keith Pilthorpe and Laurent. As we are so lucky as to have you amongst us, would you be so kind as to read this one for us, please?
Certainly. Thank you.
I thought you were going to say no.
No, he won't.
Oh, dear, don't do that to me.
All right, Keith has given us one called Bon Appetit. To satisfy is of a common piece. Whatever appetite may be in play, we live because our appetites fulfill the needs of our mute bodies day by day. The hunger is not gluttony itself, the thirst not profligate upon its face. Grave will claim its tenant soon enough, and earth serve up another in its place. But love will leave a hunger for the loved. It will not be assuaged by loving more, but feeds upon the loving to increase the need that knows no sating. The appetites stand not as of a piece. Some live a life that knows no clear existence. End quote.
Oh, that was a fabulous read, Laurent. Thank you so much. And it was an excellent poem by Keith Philanthrope, Bon Appetit. I really liked his last couple of stanzas, but love will leave a hunger for the loved that will not be assigned by loving more, but feeds upon the loving to increase the need that knows no satisfying even more. So appetites stand not as of a piece. Some live a life that knows no clear decrease. And I just thought this was just an excellent light with the hunger for life. You know, it was just a wonderful, lovely share. I really enjoyed this sonnet. And let's go ahead and start getting some comments. Gray, what did you think of this poem?
Well, you did a fantastic read of that, Laurent. But, you know, the poem itself is definitely, it's short, but it's deep. You know, it has so much to say in so few words, which is a fantastic ability to do. So a great write, Keith, and an excellent read, Laurent.
Thank you.
Thank you, Gray. And our next poet to comment is Miriam.
This is a really beautifully crafted poem, and meaning is just so beautiful. And I think this is the first serious poem I've read by Keith. He does so much poetry that is absolutely hysterically funny. It's a wonderful change of pace. It's great to know that he can do both. And I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Miriam. Excellent comment. And Katie, what did you think of Keith's poem?
Well, I will echo what Miriam said. I knew I'd get that at some point. Just waited for it. I am patient. Oh, yeah. Anyway, yes. Lovely. I didn't realize that he wrote lighter things, but this is, there was so much in this. And I particularly like that, that love will leave a hunger for the loved that will not be assuaged by loving more, but feeds upon the loving to increase the need that knows no sating evermore. Oh, that's deep. That's, you know, that's, there's no coming back from that one. Yeah. I liked it a lot. I do like humor, but I also like from the heart. you know, from the guts, as it were. And that is what this is for me anyway. I really enjoyed it. Thank you so much for sharing.
Excellent comment. And Laurent, you did such a beautiful read of Keith's poem. I would like to know what you thought of the poem you read.
Well, I love this piece. This is a fine poem. The picture just carved in it, à boire, à manger. Basically, you know, it's a restaurant. It's food and drink. In the first stanza, to satisfy is of a common peace, whatever appetite might be in play, basically says that everyone has appetites. And those appetites fulfill our needs spiritually, physically, etc. And hunger is not gluttony. There's not, you know, overly done. You know, you don't need to apologize for things that you thirst for, that you like, etc. But then love leaves a hunger for the love that will not be assuaged by love anymore. It will never be satisfied. It feeds upon the loving to increase the need that needs no satiety of the heart. It will never be satisfied. That's fantastic.
Excellent comment, Laurent. Thank you, and gorgeous read. Okay, Miss Kay, we ready for our next poem?
We certainly are. And the next poem up is Addict by V.M. Doubt. And Gray, would you read this for us, please?
I certainly will. We have Addict by V.M. Doubt. At my vulnerable fourth week, I'd matured enough to be impressionable. Through the furrow of my mother's brow was my intuitive lens to this cruel world. Ashamed or vain, she drew a fringe and proffered, I love you, as per our contract. Then my burden, I attached the words, a plateau of roller coaster rush, a recoup before precipitous pop, sheer drop. Love's rescript or fallout contradicts. Furrow lurking under fringe, inconsistency, my new sweet syringe, end poem.
You did a wonderful job of reading this poem by V.M. Doubt titled Addict. So let's go ahead and get some comments. Miriam, what did you think of this poem?
I'm sorry, I was distracted and I missed it, so maybe I could do it at the end.
Okay. Katie, would you like to make a comment on this poem?
I certainly would. I feel terribly for anyone who had that as the title of their life, as it were. It is not an easy road at all. I have an addictive personality, but mine is only as bad as, you know, Victory V's or too many crisps, you know, or things like that, but I can understand entirely because it's very easy. It's some say it's an easy option, but I don't know. I don't know. I've never been there. I have watched my family suffer through it, but probably made me stronger, perhaps. I don't know. But it's beautifully written. It's somebody trying very hard. And then you see, at my vulnerable fourth week, I'd matured enough to be impressionable. Through the furrow of my mother's brow was my intuitive lens to this cruel world. Oh, dear. Yeah. Very well written. And I hats off to somebody who could be that honest and share it with other people who might have benefit of it. I don't know. But it was very well done. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah. Thank you, Katie. You know, for me, I have addictive personality. But I've also had family members. He was actually drinking while he was driving, and he had a severe crash, and he killed this poor woman. And, you know, I have had other family members that have had to deal with this, and in some ways it taught me a lesson because I could see that the damage that it did to loved ones, the people who love and care. You know, and, you know, because I know that one of my family members just could not stop stealing. He would steal anything that would, you know, to hawk it just to go get drugs. And, you know, I have suffered a lot and suffered with my family. And, you know, it taught me one thing. This is just, I saw what addiction can do, so in some ways it helped me not to become addicted to something. You know, it's just so hard to deal with, and then it's hard to give up and watch people give up. And this is an excellent poem, and I encourage him to keep on going. And what did you think about this poem, Laurent?
There have been a lot of good comments made about this, so I'll let those stand for my impression of it. What delights me is the fact that there's no sense of reading anything that isn't completely original in this. There's no self-pity. There's no clichés. It's fresh and it's original. I think that's very powerful.
Agreed. Thank you very much, Laurent. And Gray Eyes, what did you think of the M's poem?
Well, the poem really spoke to me, you know, about the damages that addiction causes to your loved ones and yourself. You know, it really is very loudly received, and it was an excellent write.
Thank you, Gray. And Miriam, did you have a chance to read the poem?
Yes, I did. There's a lot of addiction in my family also, and I have had to watch it very carefully in myself to avoid the horrors of addiction. So terrible for the person who is addicted, and so damaging to friends, family, and loved ones. I think this is very beautifully said. I would like to know more of the story, and I don't mean that there should be more of the story in the poem, because, you know, it's just constructed very beautifully the way it is. I'm only expressing my own curiosity and compassion that I'd like to know more.
Thank you, Miriam. Wonderful comments, everybody. And we're ready for our next poem, Miss Katie.
Okay. Right, We All Have Ladders to Climb by Chrissy 2023. And I will give this one a read. Because I can't get it open to let anybody else see. Oh, yeah, here we got it. We all have ladders to climb. Oh, beautiful picture. Changed my mind and most probably my spelling and words quite a lot recently. Thinking we all live in a simulation and our bodies are avatars or emojis. Was watching high-end particle of love theory. Defo made me think above me station. Okay, got an accent. So evolved my spelling and my words quite a lot. Even my tree building. Every leaf a galaxy and branches became electric bridges to another universe. Sometimes I run with ghosts and sometimes I run away from myself to a place where there's nowhere to run to. Such a fascinating place where the treadmill is a record player and I'm running on vinyl, vaulting diamond-encrusted arm. Happily or sadly, I don't think we live in a yellow submarine. I listen to binary beats and get caught up in love affairs with whispers that circle neath my wide-open eyes. My tears fall brightly on sparkly cheeks and then I myself roll down my own cheek. No sleeves to pull up, no handbrake to stop myself from falling. But just then, me, I settle myself as a droplet of water and roll off my own cheek. Me, a droplet of water, rests inside of an open rose with the memory of an elephant. I look up to the heavens and say, thank you. I shall float upon this flower till morning, then wake up again. We all have ladders to climb. End poem.
Oh, this was just a wonderful poem by Chrissy. Where she says that she loved to write from the heart, and this is what, you know, she was thinking while she was spinning this. I've got to say, when I heard Katie reading, so evolved my spelling and my words quite a lot. Even my trees become building blocks. Every leaf a galaxy and branches become electric bridges to another universe. You know, this is how I feel when we're reading poetry, these front page texts and our open poetry. It just opens my mind to different levels and different areas and different imaginations and imagery, the emotions that they bring out of me. That's just so fascinating. And I really, and then she says, happily or sadly, I don't think we live in a yellow submarine. I just got a big kick out of her poetry, and this was just actually fabulous. And what did you think about this poem, Gray Eyes?
I enjoyed it. You know, it's full of metaphors, which were rich, but easy to discern. It's very telling, you know, on just existing, you know, as you look up to the heavens and say, thank you. I shall float upon this water till morning, then wake up again. We all have ladders to climb. Yeah. Beautiful, sentimental, right?
Agreed. Wonderful comment, Gray. Thank you. And what did you think, Miriam?
It was very beautifully read. It really brought out the cadence in this free verse. The imagery is very interesting. It's kind of all over the place, but I think the cadence brings it together. And in the poem, we are told that there are a lot of changes, even the spelling changes. So it's like, don't correct my grammar. This is the way I'm doing it right now. That's what I get out of it. And the part I love the best, even my trees become building blocks, every leaf a galaxy, and branches become electric bridges to another universe. I think the picture that creates in my mind is just astonishing.
Agreed. And our next poet to comment is Katie. And Katie, after that is Laurent, and I will be right back after I finish coughing. I'll call you back later. Thank you.
Okay, my darling, no problem. Yeah, yes, that was. I enjoyed reading it, and I do apologize to the poet for my stumbles. I haven't had a lot of sleep the last couple of nights, so I'm kind of running on empty, but I thought it was wonderful. You know, I actually felt in me the point where she changed the way she was writing. I don't know if that was correct or not, but in my head, when I read it, I thought, oh, right, okay, we're into another part of this person. This is another mindset. And so I really enjoyed that. I thought it was great. I like the Yellow Submarine aspect because like, the Beatles are the bestest ever, apart from Dean Martin. But, yes, a little bit of levity occasionally does help. But I love my tears fall brightly on sparkly cheeks, and then I myself roll down my own cheek. Oh, that sends shivers, doesn't it? Ooh, very good. I really enjoyed it. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. And Laurent, your thoughts, please.
Well, Katie, you picked out some nice lines to put the quote. I enjoyed those myself. I enjoyed the poem, actually, quite a bit. It has a very folksy, very conversational tone, although it's true, which I enjoy. And I do really like the metaphors, specifically the ones that you mentioned, and then that stanza that reads such a fascinating place with a treadmill is a record player, and I'm running on vinyl, vaulting diamond-encrusted arm. Happily or sadly, I don't think we live in a yellow submarine. That made me smile. Excellent piece.
Thank you. Yes, I agree. And I think Louie's back and someone's at the door.
Okay, so we have caller 512. I believe it's Naomi. Is that you, Naomi?
No, I don't think it's Naomi. I don't think I have a voice there, Gray.
I could try.
And we also have Louie Wild Dove. Hello to you.
Hi, and Naomi says that she's on.
Okay, well, I can't see her. I can only see 5, and that's it. So I'm not too sure if you can log in and see her.
No, I can't. Then I don't. I can't see the board.
Okay. Yeah. So I'm limited to 5.
Okay.
Do you want me to hang up and for her to call? Like, I mean, it's not a problem with me if you want me. If you want her to come on.
No, Francisco, that is fine because you're our host.
Well, I'm a co-host. You're the wondrous host here, and of course with the aid of Katie and Gray and the rest, of course.
Okay. Well, since we've got 6 people on, we're going to do 3 comments per poem so that we can get more read and commented on and enjoy them tonight. Okay, Miss Katie, we're ready.
And we have?
We only have 5 people.
No, me,
we have
you,
1, 2, 3, 4,
Miriam, Katie, 5. Laurent, and Frank. That's 6.
Frank.
Yep.
Okay, well, I only show 5.
Ray. You only show 5?
That's
is
right.
Laurent
that's
still
right.
on?
Yeah, he is. I can't
we
see
can
Miriam.
Still, we can still manage
right
if the people we have.
Okay.
That's all support.
Okay, well, let's go ahead and start our next poem, Miss Katie.
Yes, I have it up on the board. We have another ode to the gentleness of fingers. I put it up because I wanted to have a quick check on it to make sure it would be all right to ask my dear friend Miriam to read, and I think we're okay here, yeah. So, Miriam, would you be so kind as to read Fingers for us, please? Another ode to the gentleness of fingers.
I think Miriam dropped.
Oh. That's okay.
Well, call back Miriam, please.
Yes, please. Oh, dear, everybody's dropping. Okay, now, Frank, I think you'd be wonderful reading this, another ode to the gentleness of fingers.
I'll try to give it a stop here. Hopefully you can hear me well. This is called Another Ode. Okay, Another Ode to the Gentleness of Fingers. I was born to parents who yearned for the West. So they drove across country with me percolating like an electric kettle, a teapot of comfort. I sat cross-legged in my mother's tummy, round as a midwinter moon, a beer cup in hibernation. In infancy, I was very quiet, which gave the folks an opportunity for adventure. The Forest Service hired them to a man, a fire lookout high, up on a conifer-covered mountain. We lived like birds, walls or windows, this house on stilts made for shivers when thunder rumbled. Sometimes I remember Mom as not being overtly affectionate, but nowadays when I can't sleep in unfamiliar places, I conjure up the feel of her soft fingers stroking my sleepy eyelids. Now I appreciate these early years and how gold and riches aren't always about money, but more about gentle fingers. End of poem.
You did a fabulous read, Frank, on Ursula M. McCabe's poem. I realize growing up that the most important thing wasn't what I didn't have, but what I did have. And, you know, we weren't very, what I would call, you know, very rich, you know, where I had the best of everything, you know, like so many other people had. But, it's the things that I remember. You know, I remember my mom planting vegetable gardens and fruit trees that, you know, that we would can and we would eat from, you know, her making homemade bread in the kitchen, the mountains that I would see. And, you know, I would listen to the birds, you know, I'm enchanted with birds, just, you know, hearing the leaves move in the wind. And the birds singing, and, you know, and that gentle touch, you know, it was a hard life for our parents, you know. There was no instant anything. Everything was homemade and handmade and hand-sewn. And when I look back in those moments, it just made me, like she did, appreciate my mom. I thought this was an absolutely beautiful poem by Ursula. Congratulations on your front page pick. And our next poet to comment is Gray.
I love the sentimentality that was woven throughout the write. You know, it is definitely a beautiful thing, you know, is a mother's touch. And you can definitely feel that in this write. So fantastic write on the subject of the sentimentality of the mother's touch. And beautifully read as well.
Yes, and Frank did a gorgeous job. Did Miriam call back out of curiosity? Great.
I don't see her here, no.
Okay. Our next poet to comment is Katie.
Oh, this was lovely. And I do appreciate Ursula. I appreciate very much you using the word tummy, because I have an aversion to certain words that sound ugly on the mouth. And
really?
The one, yeah. And the one, some of them, I mean, I don't like moist. I don't like the word. American ladies seem to use that an awful lot. Mummy has a baby
like
in her. B-E-L-L-Y.
Benny. You could say Benny there.
Don't say the word. No, I just have this weird aversion to certain words, and that's one of them. So thank you so much for not using that one. And I thought the whole story was just beautiful. You can imagine.
Agreed.
Yeah. She doesn't remember her mother being overly affectionate, but when she needs it, she remembers those lovely moments when her mother was so close to her. So that's a wonderful memory to have.
Yes,
very well
it
done.
Is. Mm-hmm. Thank you. And beautiful read, Frank. And we're ready for our next poem.
Okay.
Oh,
and our
you asked me to comment there.
We're going to do three comments per poem so
all
we
right.
can.
All right. I appreciate
but you did
that.
A gorgeous
Thank
job in reading, Frank. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Okay. The next one we have is That Little Voice Inside Me Needs Reading Material by Argot Wings, and this has a SoundCloud. So, Gray, could you be so kind?
Sure.
Miriam. Miriam can't get back on.
That little voice inside me needs reading material. Disclaimer. I'm a little too much hot now cheesy potato bites and not enough hippie-ass smoothies. So I switched to less sugar in my coffee, and I can already tell I'm going to be a bitch today. You know when you read something good, like really good, and you can feel the needle enter the vein, heroin style, opening the release valve to an IV of caffeine, your blood pumps just a touch faster, hair standing on end in salute, and you start seeing things you're not sure were there before. I want that. I want to be spellbound at dusk, rolling into slumber to dream in the voice of Homer's pen and wake with a poem on my tongue. Not a big ask.
And I would love to know what you thought of Argot's poem, Laurent.
Well, I was kind of chuckling to myself because Argot Wings never disappoints, as far as I'm concerned. It is so interesting to see inside of a person's mind, and basically that's what's going on here. She's transmitting her thoughts in a very conversational tone, and it is just too much. I switched to less sugar in my coffee, and I can already tell I'm going to be a bitch today. The opening release valve to an IV of caffeine is excellent. But to dream in the voice of Homer's pen and wake with a poem on my tongue is sheer magic. And then the not a big ass is like kind of a downbeat of a phrase, but it's perfectly placed. Great poem.
Agreed. And she had a beautiful read. What did you think, Frank?
Well, you know, I'm going to agree with what was said here by Laurent. I thought the poem overall was just incredible. It was mired in, I would say, with metaphors that were definitely inspiring. This poem here used the topic there, you know, talking about heroin and so be it. But you really get that high, you know, when we read poetry and we're inspired by poets. You really find ourselves inspired in so many ways through emotions, feelings, and thoughts. And I thought overall the piece was magnificent. And the read was as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love the emotions that she brought out. I was looking at her. she says, not really sure if this poem or just an observation. Auto rank, it's a 1. So there's that. And she has a laughing emoji. I never really had much exposure to classic poetry other than on here. And I'm wanting to start a collection of poetry books that will wake me up and make me want to write. And, you know, and that's, you know, what I love is, you know, the honesty in her poem and just the way that she read it. I thought it was just fantastic. And she's one of my favorite poets. You know, she just, you know, just the little things that, you know, Laurent Bach, you know, talked about. So I switched to less sugar in my coffee, and I can already tell I'm going to be a bitch today. You know, that IV drip. That IV drip, and I thought it was just wonderful. And Miriam wrote in the group, to dream in the voice of Homer's pen, not a big ass, laugh out loud. So thank you, Miriam. Okay, we're ready for our next poem.
Okay. Here we have Crescent by Mirabeau 7. And I will read this one. I'm going to save your voice for a bit later on.
Okay.
Crescent.
Is that me you ask him?
No, I'm going to read it. It's a lady.
Oh, I see.
You said
save the voice.
I know you do exercises before you come on. You go, to loosen the old vocals, as it were. Okay. Here we go. Be serious, for goodness sake, woman. There we go. Mirabeau 7. You won't appreciate it. Crescent. Maybe we call the moon a toenail, because it scraped the skin of the night sky to reach us. A charlatan, for the lux of the sun, it made its own. Leaking in through gaps between curtains, as I, sleepless, watch this deviant lick our adolescent feet hanging off the bed. End poem.
I want to thank you for reading this poem by Mirabeau, and our next poet to comment is Gray Eyes. Thank you, Katie.
I enjoyed it. You know, it's a short yet sweet brevity on the subject of the crescent moon and, you know, watching his deviant lick our adolescent heat hanging off the bed is hilarious. So a fantastic write and great reading.
Agreed. Thank you, Gray Eyes. And our next poet to comment is, you just read this, Katie, and it is your turn to comment.
Oh, happy to. He was me trying to be serious, too. I don't think she'd mind me having a titter or two here. I thought this was very clever. Maybe we call the moon a toenail because it scraped the skin of the night. Oh, my goodness me. Yes. Very well done. Thank you so much for sharing. It was wonderful. Thank you. Very clever. And I enjoyed it. Thank you.
Thank you. Toenail's not exactly my type of...
No.
But, yeah. Little Laurent, you're next to comment.
On mute, my dear.
Sorry, I was on mute. Beg your pardon. I don't think there's anything wrong with the moon being called a toenail. I mean, after all, it looks exactly like that. You know, so I think it's a very valid word.
Very.
And you wouldn't have the delicious ending where he watches this deviant lick our adolescent feet hanging off the bed if he hadn't started the toenail to begin with. This is a fine poem.
Well, just as long as you're not biting. There's this kid that used to bite his toenails, and it used to mortify me. Okay. Ready for our next comment. And Naomi said, bravo, so uniquely creative lines. Thank you, Naomi. And so we're ready for our next poem, Miss Katie.
We certainly are. And we have... okay, I can't tell what's it. Scenery 8 by Izia Destiny Yugahulu. Lovely name. Got a big name. Yes. And Laurent, would you care to read this one for us, please? On mute.
Certainly.
Okay.
No, not at all.
No.
Scenery 8. Hip, hip, hooray. On evening homebound walk, Frog jumps off footpath. I can't eat late. Tonight frogs and water boatmen co-cantilate. Over the moon, he rises me on three wings. Fat drifts. Intermittent sparks on a blank blackboard. Glowworms. Morning rushes down the bang gargoyle. New day storms. Examination bells up the dewy dawn. Ravens call. Palms in ovation through the plantation aisle. A royal walk. End poem.
Excellent read, Laurent, of Izzy's Ukulu's poem. And our next poet to comment is Frank. Frank?
Yes. First of all, I thought it was a wonderful read there by Laurent. I really like not only the cadence here, but I really like the illustration of nature, the scene just so beautifully elaborated throughout each line here. You know, I don't have a particular one, but I would say that overall the lines, each stanza was very much illuminated by nature itself and its vision as well. I thought it was a fantastic job here.
I agree. You know, I see that he was writing haikus, but, you know, he was just taking us through a walk through nature. You could just feel alive in these different various stanzas. Over the moon, she rises me on free wings, bat drifts. I mean, you can just see that. And then another thing that I liked was intermittent sparks on a blank blackboard, glowworms. Just excellent, excellent writing. Thank you so much, Izzy. And we have one more comment, which is Grace.
Yeah, you know, I enjoyed the nature of it. I like the part where it says the boatman and the frog jumps on soft footpath a cantilate. Tonight frogs and water boatmen co-cantilate. And that was great. So a fantastic write and excellent read as well.
Agreed. Thank you so much. And we're ready for our next poem.
Okay. Our next poem has a sound cloud, and it's Petals Off the Vine by Orance. And a sound cloud, I think.
Okay. Just one second here. Here we go.
Petals of the Vine by Orance. 1. He asks for a light. The edges of the flame are blue, like the iris blooming near the university bench. He leans into the fire, cups the corner of its warmth, doesn't look back. 2. The tour guide drones on about a million lovesick ghosts. He sits beside me and offers his name stained with the chapel's brittle rays. I am like the ivy shaping itself to the heights of crashing turrets. 3. I tell him about swimming in a land of bright flowers. He finds nooks and crannies in my words. Burrows into the green memories, wonders about the grain and sap. Lovely questions only a lover and a city boy would ask. 4. Near the tent, the scent of bluebells bends the reeds, crashes against me. For 2 days in long flashes, there is only spring, him in the distance, an unearthly touch. 5. Cheap and bitter wine in a tacky mug, the vine has flowered for this. A break, a story into pieces, make it easier to swallow, like the moon does every night. End poem.
And that was beautifully written and read by Bernice. She was writing a contest about strawberries beneath a pink moon. And I would love to know what you thought about this poem, Katie.
Well, first of all, that was a beautiful voice. That was really well read. There was an awful lot of feeling in this, which I really enjoy. Not an easy thing to read into a mic and put, you know, depth into it, but she managed to do it so well. And I like number one because it sets this up. He asks for a light. The edges of the flame are blue, like the iris blooming near the university bench. So that obviously means a lot. He leans into the fire, cups a corner of its warmth, doesn't look back. Yes, this is the story of, I don't know, somebody who wasn't very well used.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's pretty sad, but I don't know. She seems to be distancing herself from it all in the way she's writing this. It happened, but, you know, I can break it up into little pieces and make it easier to swallow. So mm-hmm. I will do that. And that's what it feels like to me. It's happened. She was hurt and she distanced herself and is able to write about it like this, which I think is very good. True or not true, it doesn't make any difference to me. It sounds like a real event in someone's real life. And that is, I think, a lot you can ask of anyone, I think, to make something this believable. So, yes, sorry for twittering on, but I really enjoyed it.
No.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, she got several gold and 2 silver and a bronze on this poem and a front page pick.
Excellent.
And what did you think, Laurent?
Laurent said he'd be back in a few minutes.
Okay. Frank?
Yes. I thought the poem was, first of all, I agree with what was been said here by, I believe it was Weaver, Katie, who said that her voice was just magnificent in the narration of this poem here. This is about a love that is unsatisfied. You know, this is about a period of youth that we all transpire. We can relate to this type of relationship or effect of a relationship. And I thought overall the poem was just brilliantly written. It was just remarkably even read.
Mhm. You know, for me, yes. Thank you, Frank. Exactly. Wonderful comment. You know, I really enjoyed her imagery in this. You know, he asked for a light. The edges of the flames are blue, like the iris blooming near the university bench, you know, where you place yourself. You know, all of us have had that experience where we see something and it just triggers memory. And then I also loved how she talked about, there was something else in here that I thought that was really pretty. I asked him about swimming in the land of bright flowers. He finds nooks and crannies in my words, burrows into the green memories, wanders about the grain and sap. I just thought that was just absolutely stunning. And then near the tent, the scent of bluebells bends the reeds,
crashes against me.
Oh, God,
I just
that
thought
goal
that was.
There?
I thought that was wonderful.
Is that my
okay.
doorbell? Hold on, let me go check.
Okay. Was it your doorbell or was it the site?
It's Naomi.
Oh, hey, Naomi.
We have area code 703. I think this is Miriam. Hello, Miriam.
Miriam?
Can you hear me now?
Yay.
Oh, we sure can. Yay, welcome, welcome back.
And we also have Naomi.
Glad you can hear me. That's great.
Yay.
Hello, Naomi.
I'm with Emma's happy to be able to get through. And Naomi?
Oh, hello.
Hey, Naomi.
Yeah. Finally on.
Oh, we got a full house tonight. Okay. So let's get going for our next poem.
Get your paper and pen out, will you?
I got it.
Oh, she can use. She's got her head.
I got it, sweetheart. I got it.
So it would appear that we have a full house. We have four queens and a few shady jocks or jacks.
I haven't heard that since I was beginning acting school there.
Oh, I'm so sorry. We're the queens, of course, the ladies. I'm talking about the ladies.
Okay.
I'm trying to send this one. Excuse me, I'm panicking here. Come on, you little devil. Oh, here we are. She's gone. Our next one up is...
Pretty bird.
You don't put me in charge. I'm just famous for cocking out. I'm messing up.
No, you're doing all right. You're doing all right.
No, you're doing fabulous.
Thank you, my darlings. You're so good. So next we have the incapability of shadows by Pretty Bird and Naomi Sweetness. Would you care to read this one for us, please?
Of course.
Thank you.
The incapability of shadows carried into caverns on the wings of unkindness locked, flanked in murder without intent where the sun cannot penetrate. The truth of the ride is a painful demise on the whim and whimsy of conspiracy. Hovering above, I thrive in their obdumbration of heartbeats outnumbered, oil-spilled, iridescent, hypnotic, holographic, hologram use, acclimated, assimilated, and fully injured. Darkness occludes sunlight, saving retinas, just to be blind in the pitch. Warmth burns in bubbles but paper skin, bleeding ink and trails untracked. Can't run faster than they fly, and grass doesn't grow in their unkind shadow. I remember what it felt like under my feet. Maybe I do. I think I might. It doesn't grow anymore. There was a rainbow once after the rain, but I can't feel it anymore either. The rain that is nothing permeates that nightshade, blind spot light, laughter crackles, and smiles grimace. Feathered umbrage drags joy through mirth, black as witching hour daydreams, one with night. There is no sun in shadows. There's no rain to lighten disposition. Light is no match for universal conspiracies that nurture soft-hearted truth. Shadows don't dance in the unkindness of joy. The truth of the ride is a painful demise on the whim and whimsy of conspiracy. End poem.
Oh, you did a fantastic job, Naomi, of reading Pretty Bird's poem, The Incapability of Shadows. And I see that she, and congratulations on her front page pick, she got a silver medal. Flock of Ravens is called an unkindness, or a conspiracy. Flock of Crows is a murder. So let's start getting some comments. Gray Eyes, you are next to comment.
You know, I thought you did a beautiful job of, you know, saying what life is, and I really enjoyed the fact that the ravens are called, a flock of ravens is called a conspiracy or unkindness, mm-hmm. which is fascinating, you know, to learn something like that. And the crows is I knew the crows was a murder, but yeah, it was a fabulous write and an excellent read as well, Naomi. So thank you for sharing, Pretty Bird.
Thank you, Gray. And Miriam, you're next to comment.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can.
Okay. Well, this is just chock full of interesting images and also
mm-hmm.
just wonderful wordplay. I'll just mentioned a few things. There's acclimated, assimilated, and I missed it. There are a whole lot down towards the end, I know. Whim and whimsy, on the whim and whimsy of conspiracy. And there's a lot of near rhyme in here, and it's just chock full of poetic devices.
Agreed.
I was enjoying that as well as the many, many lovely pictures and the many moods.
Yes, agreed. Thank you so much, Miriam. Excellent comment. And Katie, you're next to comment. You're our third commenter.
Oh, okay. Here I am. Yes, I thought, as Miriam said, wonderfully written. But I did enjoy the alliteration. That is one of my favorite things. And this, although there was a lot of it, it was so beautifully done that it didn't seem to be sort of like a, I'm not trying to say a cop-out, but to use that particular tool in writing, it can sometimes be overdone. But I thought this was beautiful. I just thought all of it. And there are words I'm going to have to look up, which I delight in because, you know, you're telling me something I don't know. Well, though probably Miriam could tell me. yeah. Shall I put her on the spot? Shall I put her on the spot?
No.
No, I won't. No, don't call. Be deep. You're all right. I worry when you call. Yeah. So, again, beautifully done. I loved it. I thought it was so clever. Carried into caverns on the wings of unkindness flocked. Yeah, I actually had written a piece of poetry with about three different names of groups of birds, and it was an unkindness of ravens was one of them, and a murder of crows, and it was, yeah, fascinating to learn all these things. Okay, yes, lovely.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed the shadows. Agreed. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Thank you for your comment, and thank you, Pretty Bird. Congratulations. We're ready for our next front page pick.
And the next one up is Skipping Stones by Jack Tomkovic. And Frank, could I ask you to read this for us, please?
All right. This is called Skipping Stones. Your sassy smile, a skipping stone, river water, making small waterfalls and ripples that touch flesh and bones to the marrow, shivering and quivering my insides like swallowing anew. End of quote.
Thank you. And he says in his author notes, oh, you know, my wife, my beautiful wife. So let's get some comments on this poem for his beautiful wife. Has Laurent gotten back yet?
I don't know.
Greg?
I don't believe so.
Not that I'm aware of, no.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Frank, you were next to comment. What did you think of Jack's poem?
Yeah, you know, I always admire Jack's poetry. He always throws in his personal insight into what he writes, and he throws his wit as well. I thought it was a very creative, very witty, and I liked the notion there of making small waterfalls and ripples that touch flesh. That seemed to resonate with me, and he seems to be always very much very reverential for his wife as well in his poetry, but I really like the notion there of skipping stones. I thought it was another fabulous piece from Jack.
Agreed. And what did you think about the poem, Naomi?
This is just a uniquely creative, awesome. Your sassy smile, a skipping foam through river water. That's so, you know, it's so uniquely creative, but it's so endearing at the same time. You know, you can just imagine that, you know, that's such a great metaphor. The way it touches him, you know, it makes small waterfalls and ripples touching his flesh. And then, you know, I just love his last few lines. They're shivering and quivering my insides like swallowing an eel. You know, that tingly feeling that you have inside, you know, when you're touched and you're loved by someone. That is such a great metaphor. Wow, just amazing.
I believe you. I really loved your comment, Naomi. You know, for me with Jack is, you know, he can either be serious or he's talking about nature or he's just talking about living his life with his wife of many years. And he paints such beautiful words that we can see here. They're just, you know, just gorgeous. And where he talks about how this includes his relationship and marriage. And he starts, you know, it off with something lighthearted, like he is, skipping stones. And then in the first line, you see his wife, your sassy smile, a skipping stone through river water. You know, that somebody, a relationship that you can have with somebody, because we know that sometimes during rivers there's rapids and there's calm waters, but when they're in the rapid phase, you know, to have that person that gives you encouragement with that sassy smile, and you can just hear the happiness and the love that he feels for his wife here. I thought this was a beautiful poem, and it was beautifully read. Thank you. I'm ready for our next poem.
Okay. Next up, we're into open poetry now. And the next one we have is For the Love of Mary Cassatt by our dear friend Miriam. So, Miriam, if you would so kindly read this for us, please.
I will. Just getting it up here. For the love of Mary Cassatt.
Right.
Mary's children are pastel and paint, made in shades of reverent affection. They radiate life. Curious but cautious, they cling to mother. From the safety of her skirts, they stare, their serious faces craving wonder. Some sit silent on the beach, favoring pails and shovels, oblivious to watchful admiration. One lolls liquidly on an armchair, her frilled slip exposed, one hand behind her ear. They drip honey. They twitch mischief. Some droop petulantly, while some exude shyness. Others glare boldness, sadness, rampant glee. Each mood and shining personality drawn with colored strokes of sun raked across a glistening, shadowed ground. Yes, Mary did have children.
Wow. Wonderful poem, a wonderful read, and congratulations on your silver medal.
Thank you.
Our next poet in line to comment is Grant Ein.
Yeah, you did a beautiful read on that poem, Miriam. But, you know, I thought it was a beautiful tribute to a fantastic artist. You captured the essence of her work quite stellarly, so fantastic job, and thank you for sharing.
Thanks.
Thank you. And our next poet to comment is Miss Katie.
Oh, yes, this was wonderful. I could actually see these little kiddie winkles. They drip honey. I love that. They drip honey. They twitch mischief. That's perfect. Some droop petulantly, while some exude shyness. Others glare boldness, sadness, rampant glee. I love all that. You can see that in any child you meet. They are a person in their own right, right from the beginning. They have their personality. They won't always be happy. They will sometimes be shy, but their own personality just is there. And I love that. I love that aspect of children, that they can be so, some so sweet, some so awful. You know, it's just there. They're like people. They are people, not people. And that's the beauty of them. So you did this very, very well. I really enjoyed this, the little glimpse into these children, pastel and paint. I loved it. Thank you so much for sharing.
Thank you, Katie.
Thank you, Katie. Wonderful comment. And Laurent, did you get to hear Miriam's poem?
I did, and I loved it.
And
I kept wondering who Mary Cassatt was. And then I checked the contest very quickly. Mary's children are pastel and paint, made in shades of reverent affection. And it's exactly what the couple of photographs that I saw, the images, radiated that kind of emotion. They cling to mother in the safety of her skirts. They stare their serious faces, craving wonder. That basically kind of describes one of the pictures that I saw, but then she extends it into some sit silent on the beach with their pails and shovels. One lolls languidly in an armchair. And then you move into the emotions. They drip honey. They twitch mischief. Some droop petulantly, while some exude shyness. I love what you did all through that area, assigning an emotion to a physical stance or a look. It was really well done. And a little bit of irony and humor in that last line was delightful.
Yeah.
Thank you, Laurent. Wonderful comment and beautiful read and beautiful poem. And congratulations on your medal. And we're ready for our next open poem. Thank you, Miriam.
Thank you, Miriam. It was lovely. Now we have the next one up is No Handholds by Laurent. So would you care to read this, please, Laurent?
All right. No handholds. Clutching unknown fear. Isolating the source. Naming the thing. It could not. On the shores of my far creation, an acid ocean ate it. Stripping my flesh to the bone, leaving only black thought. No such place existed. Yet, it did. Its image was empty air, mist without context, myth without legend, blank canvas awaiting my stains. No painter exists in me. My words hang invisible, written in a language foreign to my eye. My wagging tongue failed at sense, babbling in the caress of moonbeams that cast no light on the moment, abstract ether that never illumines, arcing orb that lies, rolling across strange schizoid skies, defined by no horizons, one lost star in uncommon constellations. Adrift in a mad nebula, the syllabus is fear, purple pedagogy of panic, gray melancholia. An alliterative path paved with black ice, walking a slack rope without a safety net. Unfalsed, not pay the price. Instance of eternity, steeped in eternal regret. No handholds for my numbing clasp. Little to see, nothing to rest. Handholds.
All right. This is deeply emotive. It's painful. And if anybody has suffered from depression, I'm sure you can feel yourself in here. And there's different levels and modes of depression also. So let's get some comments. Frank, you're next to comment.
First of all, I have to say. This was a, well, as always, Laurent, your pieces are always very informative. Very much they leave us pensive as well. I thought the poem is what was said here by Lou. It was very emotive. It was also, as someone who has suffered depressions in my life, I can relate to this type of poetry. It is such depth and power that the lines that I read and you wrote were convincing from the beginning. I thought it was just magnificently written and magnificently displayed and expressed.
Thank you, Frank.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Frank. Naomi, you're next to comment.
Oh, my gracious. You know, I have to say, before I begin, you know, this is a new favorite of yours for me, Laura. Oh, my gracious. It's, you know, the metaphors you use are just incredible. And, yeah, you know, I had to, being bipolar, you know, of course, you know, so usually I'm high, but, you know, sometimes I go into lows. But, you know, an acid ocean ate at me, stripping my flesh to the bone, leaving only black thought. No such place existed, and yet it did. Oh, wow. You know, that's crazy. That's crazy amazing. And, you know, an empty air, myth without context, myth without legend, black canvas awaiting my sayings. You know, that is, and the written, a language written foreign to my eye. There's so much, and then you go into, like, the, you know, what you feel when you have, like, panic attacks. You know, when you're adrift in a mad nebula where the syllabus is fear, a purple pedagogy of panic, gray melancholia of misery, an alliterative path paved with black ice, walking a slack rope without a safety net. Oh, wow. You know, this is just amazing, Laurent, all the way through. Wow. Bravo. Wow.
Merci, Naomi.
Yeah. Amazing.
Thank you, Naomi. Excellent comment. And Miriam, you're next to comment.
And there's a lot in this that rings true for me. And I think a great many, if not most of the poets on all poetry have some form of depression. I see it over and over, and I know it's very common to artists of all kinds. But it's very well expressed here, very beautifully expressed. A lot of very interesting and unusual images, and also the extended metaphors are very enjoyable. Enjoyable and horrible at the same time.
Yeah, wonderfully terrible.
Thank you. And Laurent, do you want to say anything about your poem?
Tough to write. A little painful.
Yeah.
Sometimes you don't know where you are until you describe where you are to yourself. Then you look back and you read it and you go, yeah, that kind of works. I mean, I don't claim it's any great poem. It's kind of just where I'm at right now.
Yeah, I think sometimes it's, you know, I haven't felt it in quite a while, but where I would just go into these spaces and then hours would go by and, you know, my mom would ask me, well, what did you do? And I would just look at her and just like, I don't know, you know, I don't know, because you just get sucked into those voids and it just, it eats up time. It eats up everything.
Mm-hmm.
Well penned. Okay.
Thank you.
We're ready. Sorry. Hugs, Laurent. We're ready for our next poem.
Oh, sorry. Sorry. Couldn't find my little clicker.
Okay, next one. Oh, that was wonderful, by the way. I'm sorry I had to jump in here. That was wonderful, Laurent. I can really feel how that must feel. And to be able to write it out, brilliant. Loved it. Okay, next one up we have is Little Adorable Francesco. Francesco by I can't say your new name. Francisco Del Mar. There, I did it. And I wonder, and this has a SoundCloud, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, no. Gray is not on the board to pick up the phone calls, the recordings.
Oh.
So, Francisco, would you like to do us the favor and read it for us, please?
Well, you could save it for next week if you want to.
Okay. That would be fine.
Yeah.
What I'll do is I'll look for another piece.
Okay.
You.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Gray, are you there? Okay. Thank you, Gray. Sorry.
Go.
I hope your dog's okay.
Dear world, if my bedroom walls could speak, they would reveal every secret of mine, every little detail of my true dreams, beginning from the days of my childhood. These four solid walls of my room would echo the animation of imagination in the world of my flight of fantasy, where I reached its never-ending realm. These walls would also tell the story of life, how I grew to find the escape I needed, the happiness from the sadness, the adventures from the solitude. The special place where I dwelt in my mind, beyond the four walls that surrounded me, when life was full of unknown discoveries, and I could hide behind these great walls. With my mask of disguises, I transformed into the invisible world of my aspirations, or the Stygian shade of absolute darkness, silent amidst the reverberations of voices. Time was the sole chronicler to my age. As my body grew, so did my dreams. To reach the celestial orbs of the stars and pretend I was a being of my creation. I outgrew my innovative childhood, but my heart never forgets who I am, who I was once upon a long time ago, when I was just little, adorable Francisco. I suppose even now, as a man, I can still have colorful dreams and be adorable as I was before, so witty and so creative. When I was just little, adorable Francisco. In the poem.
Well, I was just reading that you wrote this for a letter in the mail from the walls of my childhood bedroom. You know, when we go and reflect, that is such a cute picture of you. Que chulo. You know, it's the things that we dreamed when we were in our bedroom walls, you know, always having to go to sleep when we weren't sleepy. I remember that. And my mind would just do this. These four walls of my room would echo the animation of imagination and the world of my flight to fantasy, where I reached its never-ending realm. You know, one of the things that I used to love to do when I was in any type of room was I would look at the patterns on the floor, on the wall, on the roof, on the bedspreads. It didn't matter. The furniture, and I would see faces. And, you know, these faces would talk to me. You know, and those, you know, those voices that we hear. And, you know, even though we've grown up, you know, like you bring out here, I outgrew my innovative childhood, but my heart never forgets who I am, who I was once upon a long time ago when I was just little adorable Francisco, you know, and just those simple memories, you know, I still dream and I still carry them. Yes, they've changed and they've moved, but, you know, it's still there, Francisco. You know, when I read your poetry, I see those dreams you had as a child and have developed into a man. And, you know, you're very witty, you're creative. And, you know, I think this is the things that these unknown discoveries that we find in all of us, wonderfully penned and wonderfully read, Francisco.
Oh, gracias. Thank you very much, sir.
You're welcome. And we're going to start back down the list again.
And
Marianne,
I don't
you
know.
Are next.
I no longer have that sweater, by the way. By the way, I don't have that sweater anymore.
Oh, thank goodness.
Aw. Oh dear. Aw. Well, I don't think you can fit it over your head.
Yeah, there you go.
Is Miriam still with us, or did she
I'm
drop?
Here.
Okay, Miriam, I would love to know what you thought of Frank's poem.
Well, I can still see the wallpaper in my bedroom, clear as day. So, but the main thing I wanted to say about this is that I really wish that everyone could be as in touch with themselves when they were little children as you show in this poem, Francisco. I remember my own early childhood very, very well, and not just what happened, but how I felt and how I saw things. And I think everyone could be in touch with their own childhood. There might be less child abuse in this world. And I anticipated the last verse. I saw that coming. That's lovely.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Agreed. Thank you, Miriam. And our next poetic comment is Miss Katie.
Oh, this was wonderful, Frank. I really envy you that ability to draw on what you were as a child. I for some reason have no childhood memories until I was, say, about 9 years old or something. It's been blanked out for obvious reasons. I don't want to remember it, obviously. But it's a weird feeling not to know, you know, parts of your life, big chunks of your life. And so I envy you this memory. It's wonderful because you've got what you can build on. You could build on what you had then, and you did. You are a wonderful poet, and I really enjoy you are. I mean, you can pluck words from nowhere and create something wonderful. So that's a vast talent, and it should be nurtured. So thank you so much for sharing this with us. And I think I'll borrow your childhood. I like your childhood better than mine.
Oh, I appreciate that. Thank you very much, sir. I'll send it to you tomorrow. Oh,
thank you, honey bun.
You know, Katie, you know, my mother also has black eyes, and that's your way of your memory protecting itself. But unfortunately, I remember everything. So
don't
feel bad. Remembering is worse than not remembering.
Yes, I suppose. Yeah, I suppose. You're right. It is a safety valve, isn't it? I don't ever want to open that little door anyway, so I understand what you mean. Yeah, we're all marching some way with life. Life is what happens when you're busy making other plans, my dear.
Yeah.
Yeah. As my wonderful John Lennon said. Okay.
And while you're getting the next poem, Robbie's poetry made a comment in the group. It was surreal when I had my first memory. I said to myself, oh, this is my first moment of consciousness. This is my first memory. I better mark this as my first memory.
Wow.
Because it's almost too eerie to me how present of my mind I was when my first memory came. That's fascinating. Yes.
Wow.
Agreed.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, my goodness. We are a wonderful little troop, aren't we? We've all got those horrible memories that made our life miserable.
No, they're not always horrible there.
We learn
from them, don't we?
Yes. Oh, I did. I learned never to trust anybody and never let anybody in, and it worked. Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
On a happier note, let's get our next poem up, shall we, before we all start crying. Oh, thank you. I need it. I've got that window open, by the way. So next one up is In the Air by our dear Naomi. Naomi, are you with us, my dear?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hear
me?
Over to you, hon. Yes, I can.
Okay. This is In the Air. My knuckles crack and bleed against your rigid spine, curled tight as a hawk's gnarled claw. Our words evaporating into the infinite blue of a cloudless sky, sparse and drained. Silence shattering into sharpness, slashing the air as the wings of a circling vulture. As I hear every moment I shared with you, fading into a black speck on the horizon, feeling like I'm not enough. End poem.
Oh my goodness, Naomi. Oh, girl, you've been making me cry. Leslie, let's get you some promises.
Happier.
Yeah, Laurent. I would love to know what you think of Naomi's poem.
Stunning. Sad. So perceptive of self, able to create a metaphor that is of an intimate moment in the first stanza. My knuckles crack and bleed against your rigid spine. One assumes you could be in bed like spoons, and that spine is, that back is to you, shutting you off, shutting you away. Or into, well, and then to move into our words evaporating in an infinite blue of a cloudless sky, sparse and drained. When things evaporate, they just kind of diffuse and turn into gas and blow away, and there's nothing left except silence, which you describe as shattering of the fractal, which is a great move away from silence into violence, immediate violence. So there's a contrast there that is kind of startling and very well realized. And you're ending, your mind is on repeat, as I hear every moment I shared with you, fading into a black speck on the horizon, finally ending up with a feeling like you're not worthy, you're not enough. You weren't enough to make the relationship work, perhaps. It is infinitely sad, but so well written. It's really great, Naomi.
Thank you, Laura.
Thank you, Laurent. And Frank, your next comment?
Yes, I thought the poem was very evocative. It was just, you know, Naomi has an intuitive word. Intuitive nature as well, to really write and describe her emotions through her poetry. You know, the poem really impacted me, in particular the ending of that poem, feeling like I'm not enough. It's a very powerful piece. I know it seems like very personal as well, but overall the poem was just an incredible writing, incredible admission of emotions displayed.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And I want to wish Laurent a good night. Thank you for calling in. We've missed you. Thank you, Laurent. And Gray, I would like to know what you thought it's your turn to comment of Naomi's poem.
Sure. You know, it was beautifully tragic. You know, I mean, you captured the essence of a breakup quite stellarly. It's, you have such a grace with your style, and you really captured that pain in such a beautiful way. But the poem is haunting and tragic, so excellent reading and excellent write.
Thank you, Gray.
Thank you, Naomi. This is just, you know, it's not my turn to comment, but, you know, your poem was so raw and deeply touching, and there's nothing worse than that feeling, to feel like your love was never enough. Ah.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lulu.
Okay, Lulu.
Okay.
Lulu, are you all right, my dear? No,
she's
yeah, she's off for a moment, but she'll be back, I think, in a second or two.
All right.
So I'll put the next one up.
All right.
This one is.
Yeah, Claude, she had dropped. She said she was dropped.
Yeah. Oh. Okay. No problem. She'll be back. Get back, please. Right. We've got Clawing at the Sun Together, by Ole Lunen. She says, next poem, Katie, please. Oh dear. Okay, got it, Lou. You got it. So we've got Clawing at the Sun Together. Now, Gray, this I think has a SoundCloud. You able to get that for
okay.
us? Thank you, my dear.
Sure. 1 second here.
No problem. Next poem, Katie, please. I love it.
Okay. Ole. Here we go.
Thank you.
Clawing at the sun together. You held me by the cheeks, hard. You squeezed them together and puckered your lips, coming in for a kiss. What was I supposed to do? Was I a baby to you? A lover? A Judas? A communist chairman in their twilight years? That one that shouldn't be named? Your eyes were all I could see at the time. Bits of pitch amidst your peachy skin. My peachy cheeks peeled off by your fingers. You weren't careful. You wanted me to drip juice all over your fingers. Guess I was the passion fruit. And you, multitudes of eyes gradients mixed until only a single sightless sore raisin of a third eye remained. Gawking at my contorted face, your hand slid down my throat, leaving striking red stripes, evidence of existence for some archaeologist to look at in 1,000 years and say, look, life has been here at one point, and then it just let go. My moon-pale face dug up by your nails. Oh, honey. Oh, cheese. Oh, for the love of God's fruity juice poured into the punch bowl in the middle of the room that's forbidden to drink. You just came to stuff your face, to mangle me, until I was just a raisin. Drink, you said, our wine-red hands intertwined, entwined by the barbed wires of galaxies no longer hurting, our hands everlasting, ever-changing. We drank that punch only a moment ago, it seems. But the cosmic clock ticked too many times for me to keep my mortal shell. So please have it. I take it that's what you wanted all along. All those eyes, those hearts, dissolved and unsolved, solving the universe, without reason, without regret.
Wow. Lulu, you back, my dear? No? Okay. Right, Gray, your thoughts on this one, please.
Well, it's definitely deep, intellectual, fascinating, right? You know, it has so much to say, and it really takes some interpretation to read it, which is what I'll need to do a couple of times to fully grasp it all. I thought it was beautiful, though. Well done. Thank you for sharing, Ule.
Yes, I agree. There's an awful lot
mm-hmm.
in this. And so, oh, hello, Lulu. You back, my dear?
Yes. Well, I was waiting for Gray to pick me up. Thank you for picking me up.
Okay, here. Okay, over to you.
I just found that he says that I wound this poem from myself back and forth several times. So it's a little bit like a croissant or the classic Babylonian unwinding. But the fact that it induced that emotional response is important to me. So I'm gratefully glad that you shared this experience. You know, it's an experience that T. Ink Point had, but I'm not going to read his experience due to the privacy issues. But what I like of this is, you know, his title, Clawing at the Suns Together. And sometimes I wonder, are we both clawing for the same reasons? You know, especially it's like what he expressed. You held me by my cheeks hard. You squeezed them together and puckered your lips, coming in for a kiss. What was I supposed to do? Was I a baby to you? A lover, a Judas, a communist chairman in their twilight 20s. You know, it's the emotions, like, you know, what do you, you know, one of the things that I have, you know, when I say when I have, you know, somebody making passes at me or telling me things, is my instant instinct is this: what do you want? You know, what do you want? What do you want from me? You know, I get that, you know, that cat look where I'm looking at you like a cat, like, right away, you know, I protect myself. And even though you may be attracted in them, but there are just some people who suck the living life out of you. They just drain you, and I really liked what he said, that, oh, for the love of God, fruity juice poured into the punch bowl in the middle of the room that's forbidden to drink. You just come to stuff your face to mangle me just until I was just a reason. They just suck the living life out of you. And so I thought this poem was powerful. His imagery was amazing, and I'm sure that when we heard this being read, we could find ourselves in between these lines and stanzas. I thought this was just fabulous, as it was just, you know, just a big punch. I really enjoyed it. What did you think, Naomi?
Naomi had to drop. She has a phone call.
Okay, Naomi had to drop, so let me write that down. Okay, what did you think of the poem, Miriam, if you're still with us?
I'm here.
Yeah, thank you.
I thought this was a very justly angry poem. It's very, very expressive, and as in part told it, the poet is looking at the relationship from the point of view of the cruel lover, to say, "This is this what you expected to happen?" And I found myself really, really hoping that this person who's being misused is going to get out of the relationship. I still see some indication there that they're not free yet.
Excellent comment. Fantastic poem, Ole. Fantastic recording. We're ready for our next poem, Miss Katie Love.
Okay, I'm here. We have It's a Fact by Lauren 67. Oh, this is going to be fun, fun, fun. Now, who am I going to inflict? Who am I going to ask to read this one, I wonder? Oh,
Frank,
I think it's
going
to have to be Frank. It's going to have to be Frank.
Mm-hmm.
Frank, my dear boy.
Okay, dude. Well, I guess I didn't expect I'd be asking so late, but this is Boom Here by Lauren 67. Is that Chucky? And it goes like this. It is a proven fact that you can't die in your sleep. If you awake tweakers, be like, woo, woo. The adventures of Nigel, the fat cat, and his homie Alfie is in that truckie. Alfie? Hey, Nigel, is that truckie? Nigel, I don't think so, but just in case, let's run. No, ask him, Nigel. No, Nigel, I'm not going to ask him. You ask him. I'm not going to ask him if he's tucky. He'll cut my neck off. Hey, princess, come here. What's up, homies? See that doll at the top of our skit? Yeah? What about it? It's just a doll. Alfie thinks it's Chucky. Could you go and ask her if it's Chucky, this nice, slashing doll? You two are a couple of cheese. Hey, dollface, what's your name? You speak English? Habla español? Speak of the Francais? He no speak of the nothing. He's mute. Chucky was mute, wasn't he? Run. Run. End of film. Oh, God.
Oh, man, the adventures of Lawrence. Okay, he's just something else with that poor Alfie and Nigel. Oh, that was such a great read. So, I am going to, let's see, who is our next poet coming? Miss Katie.
Oh, this man cracks me up every time. He's hilarious. Oh, man, is that Chucky. So clever, so very well read, by the way. I knew I'd picked the right person there, Frank. But yeah, brilliant. But I love the, you see the AN, 20 words exactly. I know, that's so cool. And there'll be people sitting going, no, that, and they'll be counting it. They'll be going, no, that's more than 20, surely. Oh, my goodness me, so clever, so clever. Yes, Lawrence, you did it again, man. Very well. Thank you so much for making me smile. It's excellent.
Excellent. Excellent comment, Miss Katie. And Frank, you read this poem. I would love to know what you thought.
Just a sort of tweakers being used on you. That would make my boy say, this is, I agree, Lawrence, 67, has a wonderful wit and demonstration of creativity. He always brings us unique styles of dialogue that exceeds the common dialogue that I encounter up on stage. I think I could say half of this on stage here.
Yeah. Well, that was an...
I can laugh, yeah.
Excellent comment. You know, the thing with this is, if I'm like, I am like Nigel. I am not going to ask. My only thing is to go in the other direction as far as possible as I can get. You know, and then, you know, he does, you know, Princess, who comes up, you know, said, you're not going to repeat this on air. You know, he starts asking, what's your name? You speak English. Habla español, speak de francés, you know. You know, he no speak de nothing. You know, all I know is he's hilarious. I love his storytelling. You know, he always makes us laugh, and it just makes me wonder what this guy is watching on TV and what he's thinking. So, but this is just excellent. I really enjoyed it. And, of course, he entered a contest. Yeah, he entered a contest with 20 words exactly, and he did not write 20 words exactly, which is, just cracks me up. Oh, that is hilarious. Yeah, it is. Okay, we're ready for our next poem.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to spend 5 minutes inside that man's head, would you? You would go looping. My God, you'd come out going, blah, 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 blah. Wonderful.
It all depends, there, Weaver.
Oh, it depends how you go in, I suppose. If you go in and insane, it's not going to be too much for you. Yeah, I suppose. Well,
you
right
come
then.
Out there.
You come out doubly insane. Oh, my God.
There you go.
Oh, dear. No, we are so silly. Okay, now we... Oh, now we've got... We're serious now, folks, okay? We're ready for this. Buckle up. We're going in. This is Politicians by S. Sharp. And Gray, my dear, would you care to read this one for us?
Sure, no problem.
Thank you.
So we have Politicians by S. Sharp. Vibrant flowers grow in clusters, prepped and manicured with green thumbs, gloved, nurtured in moist, turned, rich soil. Weeds penetrate and populate the bare ground left unattended. Cracks in otherwise unlivable soil, concrete slabs, cliffs, and roadside ditches where displaced dirt resides. Newfound fertile ground harbors, germinates impostors, growing tall, intervening weeds enter private conversations, flowering, seeding, spreading the word on the enduring wind, carried home, planted amongst them, amongst men in rich, nurtured soil. End poem.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of politicians at this moment, especially here, but he did a fantastic write on politicians, and we're ready to start our commenting. Miriam, what do you think of this poem by Sharp?
Well, I think that there seems to be a disconnect between the title and the poem. I guess as Sharp's experience of politicians has been different from mine, or maybe there's an ironic twist in here that I'm missing. And I am not against politicians. We really need them, but God, we've had so many bad ones lately. And this poem is so positive. Spreading the word on the enduring wind, carried home, planted amongst men, in rich, nurtured soil. Let's all pray for that.
Excellent comment. Thank you, Miriam. And our next poet to comment is Miss Katie.
Oh, man, me and politics. I have not one idea, and even less about your politics. So I think I'll be a little bit redundant. My whole take on politicians is, if you want to become one, you should never be allowed to become one. That's my idea. Get the ones who don't really want to do the job. They're terrible. They try. I mean, my country's worse than your country could ever be, I think. We are just, I know nothing about politics. So all I can say is this is, as you said, Miriam, very well written in a way that sounded far more upbeat than you would expect, but I did like weeds penetrate and populate the bare ground left unattended. That is so true. Nature will never let us away with anything. So the politicians can do what they like. Nature's out to get you. That's just the way I look at things. We get flowering and seeding and spreading the word. I reckon it's nature's going to get us first. Never mind the politicians.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Beautifully written. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And our third commenter is Frank.
Well, I'm not going to touch the issue of politics, guy. I'm not really that keen. I know much about it to elaborate much. But what I do realize is I like the particularly the ending that was mentioned here before about spreading the word on enduring wind. I think if there is one comment I can make about this poem and it being linked to politics, is that perhaps we can always find a common theme to agree on, and a theme which we can also find, accordant, and to be able to spread the word of unity. Hopefully one day we can find that in politics.
Exactly. Thank you, Frank. And we're ready for, thank you very much. And thank you, Sharp. And we're ready for our next poem, Miss Katie.
Well, I've got one of mine, but if you want me to go straight back up
okay,
to...
Okay, yes. No. Yes, but yours.
Okay, thank you. I'd love to hear this, actually, because I've forgotten what it sounds like. Gray, could you do the SoundCloud for me, please?
Is it up?
Sure, you bet, yeah.
And put the link, Katie.
I've got it up. It's there.
Let me refresh.
Woman in white by the little Scots woman.
I don't see it.
I don't see it either.
I know what I've done. I've probably put it in somebody else's page. Just a moment. Oh, my God. I'm so eager. I'll be with you. Oh, yes, I put it there. Sorry about that. Okay. In we go. Here we are. No, that's him. Sorry. One moment.
It's okay.
I wish I hadn't bothered. Oh, dear.
No, it's all right.
Oh, I got it now. I got it. I just did it wrong. Yeah, I get excited. I'm so sorry.
Nothing wrong with getting excited.
Be excited at 4 or 5 a.m. is worthwhile there. Katie.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's true, I suppose, yeah.
I'm usually snoring by then.
Oh, I'm never snoring. It's trouble. Okay, that's why I get excited. I'm still breathing. Right, Woman in White by me.
Ooh, beautiful. Seems like a steamy poem, yeah?
Hmm.
So you're going to have to read that, Weaver, because I don't have a SoundCloud for it.
Okay, no problem.
Now, do you want to read it or do you want to save it until next week?
No, I'll just read it, seeing I've got all the effort of finding the blasted thing.
Okay.
Give her your sensuous voice there.
Now, if there's any words I can't pronounce, I'll need help, okay? This is so funny because this is the total... Anyway, right, okay, here we go. I appear as an elegant woman full of allure, dressed in white, pared back, haute couture. With every step I exude assurance, aplomb, my facade full of grace, aloof, as if I belong. When in the spotlight I shine like distant stars, only look behind my eyes to see the vivid scars. The whispers of pain that echo through my veins are a symphony of heartbreak forever ingrained. So I will remain always distant, a wisp of mystery, in my fortress of emotions, full of hidden history. Yet beneath this outer shell, I long for affection. I ache to feel love, desire, yet fear a connection. I am silently yearning for someone who is brave, to cleave to me, caress me, let me feel all I crave. Though I long to feel lust, like a hot searing light, until then I walk alone, adorned in purest white, waiting behind the ramparts of my stronghold, sending into the ether a plea for someone bold. Then in caring arms I'll find solace and peace, a love that's strong, desire that will never cease. End poem.
Ah, gorgeous poem and read. Gray Eyes, you are the next poet to comment.
Oh, that bad.
Gray?
No, I thought you
she
said
was
it.
Teasing you.
No, you did a beautiful read on that poem. But every beautiful, strong woman deserves a beautiful, strong, a handsome, strong man. So I thought you captured that beautifully, and you're right. Thank you for sharing, Weaver.
Thank you.
You know, what I liked about this poem, in your couplets, was that, you know, you told the story of this picture, you know, and I thought you did it wonderfully. You know, you said, I appear as an elegant woman of allure, you know, and you know, and then because there's desires, there's something she wishes. And, you know, she says, when she's in the spotlight, I shine like distant stars. You know, when you're forced to put on that white makeup and wear that dome, that white hat and the outfit and pearls, where you hide what you're really feeling. And then you put it about that behind this, it says, when in the spotlight I shine like distant stars, only look behind my eyes to see the vivid scars, the whispers of pain that echo through my veins. And then, you know, you go on and you tell her story of hidden history where she says, I ache to feel love, desire, and yet feel a connection. I am silently yearning for someone who is brave to cleave to me, caress me, let me feel all I crave, you know. And then, you know, she will walk alone in the purest white until, you know, like you bring out here, waiting behind the ramparts of my stronghold, you know, just waiting for that person, that strong desire that you feel and that you need. I thought this was gorgeously penned, Weaver, and beautifully read.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. And our next poet to comment is Miriam. What did you think of Katie's poem?
Beautifully read, and I love the story in it. It's a woman who is suffering heartbreak and kind of trying to cover it with fashion. But the pain is in there, And the pain flowers into desire and then into hope. I mean, it still says desire, but I find a very strong sense of hope, especially in the where she says, then in caring arms, I'll find solace and peace. It's just so beautiful and so hopeful.
As Native women, we wear red lipstick. We put on our war paint. To hide our emotions. Yeah, we do.
Oh, I'm going to see that there.
Thank you. And Miss Katie, we are ready for our next poem. We still have time.
Yes. It's coming up in one moment.
And hi, Sam. Hi, Sam Lon. He's in the group.
Oh, cool. Right, we have. I hope we haven't had this. I don't think so. We have The Hills Are Alive. The Hills Have Eyes by E.J. Cool. Miriam, are you feeling up to reading this?
Sure.
Good-o.
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can, my dear.
Yes, we can. Okay. The hills are alive. The hills have eyes. Death-bound eyeless holes watch a black crow murder flee in southbound rows from cannon-shot verticals. Ancient bone dust and fetal rust spontaneously combust insurgencies. Vulgarity scribbled in notes stapled against a hollowed-out cavity on plastic prayer beads, sleeves, God chokes. Clockwork, cock, stroke manifests destiny. Depraved and deranged slaves conspire around a tire pyre with hysterical raves, barking mad and darkly clad. Prescribed and certified mourning tied shallow graves. Reduced to sticks, sand, and pinprick glass, sharp shards that slice smooth hands and pompous ass, pachyderm and ungulate pulses, fantastic phallic bravado and testes en masse. End poem.
Oh, I do apologize for that one. I wish I'd read it instead. Yes, very much so. What does it say about... Anyway, very well done. Thank you, Miriam. Beautifully read. There's words that I couldn't even pronounce. Okay, I'm Frank.
I'll be brief here. I know a lot of time. I don't know if it's a reference to the film itself, which is titled by this title as well. But I think AJ is always a wonderful, creative poetess who uses dark imagery to write a poem very effectively, very, very much so.
Uh-huh, I agree. And Luyu, are you back, my dear? No, poor girl. Okay, Miriam, you read it. You read it very well. Thank you. And your thoughts?
Wonderful sound in this poem. Lots of internal rhyme and repetition and near rhyme and all those wonderful things that I love. And it gradually gets more and more strange. And the end, pachyderm and ungulate fallacies. And, of course, after you've said fallacies in a poem like this, you have to use the word phallic. So I understand that. And it's just humorous surprise. And it's
I'm probably going to go to sleep tonight after that.
Oh, my goodness. I love that last line, though. That last line just trips off the tongue, does it not?
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic phallic bravado and testes en masse. I love the en masse bit. Wonderful.
Yeah, agreed.
Do you?
Yeah, I agree with you. I was looking at the comments, and the Echo Insider says this poem is a highly crafted, prophetic poem, both remembers very dark times and threatens of dark times to come. The atrocities evoked are made visceral and even more horrible by the time-worn regularity, seeming inavailability and universal capitulation to the probability and repetition of toxic herd instincts in masculine conquest themes. And then he says that his favorite stanza was vulgarity scribbled in notes stapled against a hollowed-out cavity on plastic prayer bead sleeves God chokes clockwork cock stroke manifest, because these encapsulate much of the theme and are like the vulgarity applied to the hollowed out cavity, because maybe a heart or brain used to be there but was removed for the sake of negative capability. And he says, thank you for entering my contest. And she says, thank you, that she was glad that he understood. And not only did E.J. Cole get a front page pick, she has won 3 gold medals on her poem. So I want to congratulate her.
Congratulations.
Okay, and we're at the end of the show. I want to thank everybody who called in. Gray, Miriam, Katie, Laurent, Frank, Naomi. And I want to thank Robbie, the people that hung out in the group, Fill My Eyes, and for CM for calling in, you know, well, he's in the group chat. And thank you, everybody. I love you guys. We will see you, I believe. I'm not sure whose show is this.
Tonight?
Who has the show this Saturday?
Is it Pam? Pam? I
do.
Pam?
I think it's Gray, isn't it? It's Gray.
Gray Eyes?
I do this Saturday, yeah.
Are you sure it's you? Because it said you had yours on the 18th, and Bobby was on the 25th, so Daniels is the second. So it's not your show, Gray.
It's Daniel and Gray, isn't it?
Okay. Yeah, I think so.
All right. Okay, so come back with us on Monday for more Front Page Pick and Open Poetry. I love you guys. Kisses to everybody. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Take care.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Good night. Good night.